One day earlier this week, it was my very great pleasure to drive my daughter to school. And in the course of that conversation came a very obvious question. Why is it that Canadian and American Thanksgivings are celebrated on different days? Well, as many of you know and can identify with, fathers delight in answering their daughters' questions. And when they're younger, we seek to do two things. First of all, entertain them. And second of all, try and demonstrate that we're smarter than we really are. Had this question been asked 10 or 12 years ago, I would have said to her something like, "Well, you see, turkeys migrate like geese. And because they live in the north and head south, we have the opportunities to hunt them before they do." But unfortunately for me, my daughter is now a bright young woman, and she's going to see through any of those attempts. So I thought about it for a minute, realized I don't really know the answer to that question, and then said, "Well, I suppose because it is a harvest festival that it does have to do with being further to the north and winter coming sooner and harvest being when it is. I'm sure it's got something to do with that." And then as I was thinking about it, I said, "You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if it has something to do with Canadians want to disassociate themselves from the American Thanksgiving foundational story of the Pilgrims and the Mayflower and the first winter business." Fortunately, we got to the school and she got out of the car. And that was that. But I came to the office and I thought, I better look up to see how close I got this. And you want to know something? Pretty darn close, patting myself on the back on both of those accounts. But in so looking for the answer, the definitive answer about why Canadian Thanksgiving is held on a different day than American Thanksgiving, I stumbled upon a few facts that I thought were interesting and worthy of being shared. It turns out that history will record that the first Thanksgiving held in North America by Europeans was held in Canada, or at least what would eventually become Canada, in Newfoundland in 1578. Wow, exactly. When Martin Frobisher, the explorer, declared a day of thanksgiving for the safe passage of his ship from England to Newfoundland. Yeah. So everybody paused and they had a day of thanksgiving. What I also found out was that Frobisher wasn't trying to find Newfoundland. Frobisher was attempting to find a polar or northern route to Asia. So, it seems to me we've got it all wrong. That the menu for Thanksgiving in Canada ought not be turkey and potatoes and gravy and stuffing. It really should be Chinese food. Or, at the very least, cod, don't you think? That would seem appropriate. American Thanksgiving was not first celebrated until 1621. They have been behind us on many things for a very long time. In 1621, when John Smith and the Pilgrims, who came to New England in search of religious freedom, among other things, did celebrate a day of Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving became a holiday, a national holiday, first in the United States and not in Canada, declared by no one less than George Washington in 1778. And George Washington, in the proclamation that declared this day of observance, set originally for the fifth Thursday in November, but subsequently moved to the fourth Thursday because not every November has Five Thursday and Americans get confused easily. That's terrible. I don't know why I say things like that. They just kind of slip out. I love them, but really. He made it abundantly clear, George Washington made it abundantly clear that this was a day of giving thanks for the harvest, for the goodness of the earth and all that earth provides, very consistent with all other expressions of thanksgiving. But he also was given credit for making it an unapologetically religious observance. That in the proclamation that gave Americans this holiday, he said the reason, the one to whom they are giving thanks is for the signs and wonders of Almighty God. It was written right there in the legislation. So the two things, the harvest festival and the one to whom all thanks must be given. Canadians had, again, something that seems to be very characteristic of us. We had a hard time kind of arriving at a consensus about what to do. And the first kind of declared national day of Thanksgiving was not a harvest festival, but was in the 1870s, 1876, when the government declared a day of Thanksgiving because the Prince of Wales had recovered from his illness. So we took the day off. So that was good. That was good. And then Canadians kind of played around with it and couldn't get, some had it in November and some had it in October and some had it on Thursdays and some had it on, some years it was on Mondays. Nobody got paid for it for a very long time. By the 1920s, Thanksgiving in Canada was routinely celebrated the second week of November. But then in the aftermath of World War I, Armistice Day became more and more important in Canadian observations, and in order to distance the two celebrations from one another, finally, Canadian Thanksgiving got placed in October, but was not declared a national holiday by Parliament on the second Monday of October until 1959. 1959. There you go. How's that for things you never really, too much information about Thanksgiving and its history. I find it wonderfully fascinating that no matter how you imagine the foundation, historical foundation of Canada, whether it's French or English or Aboriginal, that in each culture independently is the idea that it seems right to be thankful for the goodness of the earth and all that earth provides. That in these independent streams comes this common thread. But you and I actually know there's nothing all that coincidental about it, and certainly nothing new. Because 2,000 years prior to Martin Frobisher, there is in Scripture testimony to the appropriateness of pausing once a year and giving thanks to God for the goodness of the earth and all that the earth provides for us. It's hard in one listening, even though Joan, the best reader in the best neighborhood, in the best city, in the best province, in the best country, did a great job of it. It's hard in one reading to hear the words of the prophet Joel, Israel's prophet Joel, as he addresses not just the people, but also the earth itself and the animals themselves. He says, "Fear not, earth. Fear not, animals. Fear not, people of God. Give praise, O earth. Give praise, animals. Give praise, people of God." That Joel comes from Israel's ancient spirituality, that you don't separate the idea that the earth and all that it provides and the animals and our relationship to them and the people who can give utterance of praise and thanksgiving to God are not one in the same connection with the one who has made us all, right? And that in the book of Exodus, in chapter 24, again, 2500, give or take a few centuries ago, Israel identified the need, the commandment to pause and give thanks to God for the gifts of the earth and for the bounty of the harvest. Our Jewish brothers and sisters to this day have a harvest festival that they celebrate and call Sukkot. Sukkot in English means festival of booths, the reason of which will be abundantly clear in a moment. That during Sukkot, the Jewish person is commanded to build a sukkah, which was a temporary shelter. And what Israel did was take this idea that we should return to God our thanks for the goodness of the earth and connected it very tightly to the goodness of God in Israel's Exodus experience, that in 40 days of wandering through the wilderness, as they left slavery in Egypt and made their way to the promised land, in those 40 years, God provided through the gifts of the earth. That when we are without, when we have nothing but hope, God continues to provide for our needs. And that is to be remembered, and that is what we are to be thankful for. The sukkah, which is constructed at Sukkot, which is in the second month on the Jewish calendar, almost always falls in October, actually. The Sukkot is a temporary shelter with three walls and an open roof, and it is meant to be covered with branches, but not so much that you can't see the heavens. And it represents both of those understandings of the appropriateness of Sukkot. That one, ancient Israel, during harvest time, would construct temporary shelters, temporary dwellings for the harvesters to reside in during night because it was too much to walk all the way back to the home tents. And also that while they wandered in the wilderness, they would have needed temporary shelter. And so they would have constructed these things in the wilderness, these booths in the wilderness, so that they would have a place to stay. Contemporary Jewish people observing Sukkot will eat all their meals for a week inside the sukkah in order to bring this providential history to mind. And if you are well enough, and weather is right enough, it's not about suffering at all, you are invited to sleep in it as well. I remember hearing a number of years ago that it might be said that the church should imagine itself as a place with three walls. That the church would be good to remember that we exist in a temporary shelter. That there is more light and truth yet to shine forth from God's word. That we have yet to acquire more wisdom by the grace of God. That it should be abundantly clear that one side is open because anyone is always welcome to enter into this place. That our gaze should from time to time go up to the heavens and remember there are gifts of the earth that we have had no power in creating whatsoever. And yet the earth provides for us generation after generation after generation in abundance, not by our wits or abilities or skills, but by the goodness of something, someone beyond us. That the church should imagine itself as a building with three walls so that anyone who passed by can look inside clearly and see who we are and what we are about. That the church might imagine itself in its days of thanksgiving as a modern version of the sukkah. You know, in the great wisdom of Wikipedia, in which I found all those other dates, I also found this, that when Thanksgiving is a proper noun and translated into French, that it is l'action de grâce, the action of grace, that God has blessed us with an abundance of gifts, and it is our sole primary responsibility to simply say thank you. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose ways have been made known in a multitude of expressions and cultures and histories, we do pause in this moment and give you thanks for your goodness and your kindness in giving us this earth and letting us grow in our understanding that we are a part of the earth, that we too grow from the gifts of the earth, that the earth is filled with a bounty of things that speak of your providence, your kindness, and your grace. Let us not reserve our thanksgiving for a single day in the year, but moment by moment fill our hearts with gratitude for the good and glorious things that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.